Welcome to the Conversations Politics podcast. I'm Michelle Grattan. The government today has announced some revision of its plan to change Labor's financial advice legislation. The original proposals ran into a storm of protest, with seniors and other consumer critics saying the legislation was being weakened in a way that would advantage the banks in particular and disadvantage vulnerable consumers. A Senate committee proposed the government's changes be rewritten to make it clear that commissions should not be allowed when bank employees and others provided general advice to clients, but stuck by some of the other controversial changes. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann is with us today to discuss what the government is doing. Matthias Cormann, can you outline how the government is going to alter the proposals it had earlier put?
Well, I mean, the first point to make is that the coalition has always been supportive of some of the changes that were made to our financial advice laws in the period of the previous government. We've always been supportive of the introduction of a statutory best interest duty, which required financial advisors to act in the best interest of their clients. And we've always been supportive of the ban on commissions and conflicted remuneration which distorted the advice provided to investors. So what we did say in opposition was that some of the changes that Labour introduced went too far, impose too much costly red tape, and ultimately hurt consumers' best interest by pushing up the cost of advice, by lessening competition, and essentially by making it by making high quality advice less available to people who need it the most. Now, you know, we took these policies to the last election. They have been on the table for a very long time. Earlier this year, there was a lot of misinformation that was being spread around. I paused the implementation of the regulations and the legislation in order to consult further, which we have now done. And what I am doing now, what I'm proposing to do, in order to put beyond doubt, absolutely beyond doubt, any questions that anyone might have about the government's commitment not to bring back commissions, bring back commissions in relation to financial advisors or those who provide general advice, is that we will be explicitly prohibiting any commissions, upfront or trailing commissions, both in the regulations and in the legislation to amend our financial advice laws.
And that's the only change you've made from the proposals that you were advancing before?
Well, what we've done is we've set out very clearly, again, the reasons for the changes that we're proposing, and they're really focused on ensuring that we've got the most appropriate balance between important consumer protection mechanisms in our regulations and while also making sure that access to high-quality, trusted advice continues to be available and affordable for consumers across Australia.
Now, you've said there'll be no upfront commissions paid when there's general advice given, but the changes would still allow the employee of a bank to receive incentives for his or her work generally. Isn't there a danger of blurring here between commissions and incentives?
Well, not at all. I mean, I don't think that anybody has ever suggested, and indeed Bill Shorten, when he was the minister for this area, never suggested that financial product providers should not be able to incentivize their employees in relation to doing their job. And of course, you'd expect a bank employee to provide general advice to bank customers. You'd expect the same as you would expect employees of other businesses to provide general advice to their customers. So what we have said is that we want to absolutely ban and put beyond doubt that the ban continues in relation to any incentive payments or any remuneration that would conflict the advice given. Are on the same page with the previous government when it comes to the ban on commissions, incentive payments, remuneration of whatever type, which conflicts the advice given. And we have moved in the changes that we're announcing today to put that completely beyond doubt.
Now, you're sticking with your proposed removal of Labor's explicit requirement that an advisor must take all reasonable steps to make sure the client's best interests are served. Why are you so adamant on this point?
Well, that is a little bit misleading, I've got to say, the way that question is put. The requirement for a financial advisor to act in the best interests of his or her client is enshrined in subsection 961(b)(1) of the Corporations Act, and that requirement remains in place unchanged. There's absolutely no amendment to that requirement whatsoever. What you are asking about is one aspect of the test that a financial advisor may use in order to prove that they've acted in the best interest of the client. And of course, if you look at the way that test currently operates, it already requires a financial advisor to identify the subject matter of the advice sought, to identify the objectives, financial situation, and needs of the client that would reasonably be considered to be relevant. It requires him to identify the objectives, financial situation, and needs of the client that are disclosed to the advisor by the client, but also where it was reasonably apparent that information wasn't complete or was inaccurate, that he or she has to make reasonable inquiries to obtain complete and accurate information. Further, the financial advisor has to assess whether he or she has the expertise required to provide the client advice. And if they don't, the client to provide the advice in relation to the subject matter of the advice sought. And so it goes on. So there are a whole range of steps that are very comprehensive. What Labor did was to add an open-ended catch-all provision which didn't actually provide a specific obligation on the financial advisor, but which created uncertainty for both the advisor and the investor, the client, on how the best interest duty would operate. Uncertainty in this business means increased costs, which ultimately would push up the cost of advice for the client. And what I would say is, so there are different parts of the Corporations Act that require, that impose obligations on financial advisors. So the financial advisor will continue to have to act in the best interest of the client. The advice that is provided must continue to be appropriate. An advisor must continue to provide a warning if there is any incomplete or inaccurate information. An advisor must prioritize their client's interests ahead of their own. Conflicted remuneration structures, including commissions that have the ability to influence advice, will continue to be banned, and consumers will continue to have, of course, through these mechanisms, access to high-quality advice. So the proposition that has been put by some that the government was moving to abolish or significantly weaken the best interest duty is false. What we are focused on is making sure that the best interest duty can work effectively in practice, and that both advisors and their clients can have certainty around how the best interest duty is meant to operate.
You're also going ahead with measures such as removing the provision that investors have to periodically opt in to continue their arrangement with their financial advisor, and that the advisors have to send fee disclosure statements to certain clients. Now, you argue that these add to costs, but don't they also add to safeguards?
Well, firstly, in relation to the second part of the question, no, we're not doing that. We are totally supportive, and we will continue to be imposing the requirement that annual fee disclosure statements have to be provided by clients. What we are saying is that it is completely inappropriate for a government to force clients into a situation where they can't enter into an ongoing contractual relationship with their advisor. It's none of the government's business, to be honest, on how long I, as a client of a financial advisor, want to enter into that relationship with that advisor. We don't think it's appropriate to force clients to re-sign contracts with their advisors on a regular basis. We think it adds unnecessary costs and red tape, again, ultimately pushing up the cost of advice. There is no precedent for this sort of measure anywhere around the world. And indeed, this particular change, which out of 400-odd submissions to the Ripple inquiry that was the start to all of this, only one of them recommended this change, and that was the Industry Super Australia Association. And we just don't think that it is appropriate for Australia to become the world champion in financial services red tape, making access, putting access to high-quality advice beyond reach of most Australians.
Next week we'll see this another Senate report, this time one that's highly critical of the handling by the Commonwealth Bank of clients who essentially were dudded by financial advisors and a company associated with the bank. Why didn't you wait until after that report to announce the government's decisions on financial advice?
Well, I mean, firstly, the events that are investigated here by the Senate committee, of course, are events that are in the period before some of the recent changes have been made. I think, like, as I've said in the Senate this week, whenever a financial product provider or a financial advisor or anyone in this industry does anything wrong, they ought to have the book thrown at them. Financial advisors and anyone that is a professional providing advice to people about their financial health and well-being or helping them manage financial risks or maximize financial opportunities ought to act in the best interest of their client. And that is, of course, a requirement that will continue into the future under our corporations' laws. But, you know, essentially, I don't expect anything out of that report that has a bearing on the changes that we're making. We will continue to require financial advisors and indeed financial product providers to have the appropriate safeguards in place, which have only been in place for a number of years, for a couple of years now, that their employees and their financial advisors act in the best interests of their clients.
Do you think that you will have satisfied the concerns of seniors and other critics by the limited compromise you've made?
Well, we have made judgments on what is in the public interest. And in our view, it is in the public interest for people saving for their retirement, people managing their retirement, to have access to affordable, high-quality advice they can trust. And we always have to strike a balance between appropriate levels of consumer protections on one hand, while making sure that access to that high-quality advice remains affordable so that people can benefit from that advice in when they're making decisions about their retirement plans and so on.
Now, some of these measures are going to be introduced by regulation in the next week or so, right? And others will wait for the legislation. What will come in by regulation?
Well, so we've laid that out in our statement in some detail, but essentially wherever we have regulation making power under the Corporations Act in order to provide certainty to industry and to clients or financial advisors across Australia, we have decided to progress those changes through
just
regulation.
Just the main couple of measures.
Well, I mean, obviously there's a range of measures that we will be pursuing through changes in regulation. In particular, the removal of the costly and ineffective opt-in requirement will be made through regulation initially and then through legislation, subject to the processes of Parliament. Of course, the removal of the catch-all provision in the best interest duty, we will progress that way. The better facilitation of access to scaled advice, as well as removing the retrospective requirement for fee disclosure statements in relation to clients from the period pre 1 July 2013.
And that will start, those regulations will start from July 1, is that correct?
Well, our intention is for that to start from 1 July 2014, and the regulations in relation to those matters will be in place for a period from 1 July 2014 until 31 December 2015. This will provide certainty to industry and to clients. And in the meantime, then, of course, the Parliament will consider the substantive legislation over the next few months.
Do you think there's a danger the Senate will try and disallow those regulations?
Well, I mean, obviously, in relation to any regulation, that is an option that is available to the Senate, and that'll be a matter for the Senate to resolve if that occurs.
Now, in many areas, the maxim buyer beware applies, but isn't it a reasonable argument that in something as complicated as financial advice, people really do need quite a lot of protection because they can't be expected to be as expert as in some areas, and that that is an area where considerable regulation is justified?
Well, considerable regulation is justified, and considerable regulation will continue, but we've also got to be very careful not to kid ourselves, and we shouldn't be telling ourselves that we can achieve everything we need to achieve in this space through regulation alone. And obviously, so financial advisors across Australia do provide a very important service. I mean, good advisors help Australians with their financial health and well-being. They help Australians manage financial risks and maximise financial opportunities. And of course, we do want to have professional, ethical, well-educated advisors providing that sort of support to people across Australia, in, you know, who are saving for their retirement or managing their retirement or dealing with whatever other financial challenge comes our way through life. But whenever you impose an additional level of regulation, it ought to be justified based on an appropriate cost-benefit equation. And of course, when Bill Shorten imposed some of those FOFA changes that we are saying went too far, he never put those changes through his government's own regulatory impact assessment processes. He never put those changes through their own required cost-benefit assessment processes, because he knew full well that the cost-benefit equation did not stack up. When every time that you impose an additional bit of regulation, you should be able to justify what additional consumer protection benefit you get. And to just impose more red tape and more costs without a proportionate improvement in consumer protection requirements doesn't help consumers. It just puts access to high-quality advice beyond the reach of too many people across Australia.
Those Labor changes were partly a response, of course, to some financial collapses and financial scandals. Do you think that people will be able to feel as safe under your changes as they might now?
Well, and you know what? This is a very important point. After, for example, the storm financial collapse and various other events that happened a few years ago, there was a bipartisan parliamentary inquiry, which was chaired by Bernie Ripoll, who is now the shadow minister for this area, a very good man. And I was very supportive of the recommendations that came out of that report. And the two key recommendations that came out of the Ripoll inquiry was that we must introduce a statutory best interest duty, which we support, which we will keep, and that we must ban commissions and conflicted remuneration arrangements which distort the investment advice given to clients of financial advisors, and we keep that as well. So the key recommendations that came out of the Ripoll inquiry, we supported then, we've supported all the way through. What we're saying is that Labor, in the changes they legislated in the last parliament, partly because they were doing the bidding of a particular vested interest in the financial services market, went too far, imposed too much red tape, which ultimately is going to push up the cost of advice for too many people across Australia without providing for proportionate improvements in consumer protections.
And beyond this, do you think that there will be a need to try and improve professional standards in the industry, to get more education in the industry?
Well, I think that this is a very important part of this whole issue. And I've got to say, over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, a lot of effort has been put in by organisations like the FPA, the AFA, SPA, and a series of others, the FSC, in terms of lifting professional, ethical, and educational standards. I don't think that that journey is finished. I think that there is still a way to go. There's still opportunities for us to achieve further improvements. And certainly, from the government's point of view, we're very keen to work with all stakeholders on sensible initiatives to continue to lift professional, ethical, and educational standards across this very important industry.
Matthias Kuhlmann, thank you very much. It'll be interesting to see the reaction to your announcement. That's all from the Conversations Politics podcast today. Thank you to my producer, Matt Dawson. We'll have another interview before too long.